Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us now this morning and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So imagine with me a scene that has long faded into the Wyoming grass. A lean man in buckskins perches on a ridge overlooking a winding creek. A mountain breeze flutters the eagle feather tied into his dark braids. A man's left hand presses a large mass of speckled agate rock against a leather apron draped over his thigh. His right hand swings down a smooth river stone in rhythm. Large flakes split from the rock. The man puts down the river stone and studies each of the flakes. His eyes scan their angles. He nods. He will get at least 6 tools out of this hunk of rock. Not bad for a rock that he found half buried beside a deer trail on Horn Mountain. The man picks up a flake the length of his little finger, studies it. This will do for an arrowhead. Using now a smaller river stone, he begins to tap away the edges. Agate chips fly into the grass at his feet. And once the basic triangle shape emerges, he begins to nap smaller flakes from the surface with a small deer antler. A shout raises the man's head. Across the creek, his son weaves between the teepees, holding aloft a dead grouse and his bow and arrow. I've got one! The man's wife clucks her approval as she scrapes the waves of fat from an elk hide off to the side. The man on the hill's face splits into a grin. Good hunting, son, he cries. He turns back to his work. And by now, the antler napping has produced a serrated edge, sharp as a bear tooth. The man studies the new arrowhead. The corners of his eyes wrinkle in delight. He is proud of his work. Each of his tools shows his signature style, and his family uses all of his tools. The bird points strapped to his son's arrow, the knives with which he dresses out buffalo, and the scrapers his wife plies over the animal hides. All were once passive rocks, inert without purpose. But now this man has given each of these rocks a purpose. And together these former rocks keep the family and the tribe alive, help the family and the tribe to live a full life, a flourishing life. Now, in our text this morning from our epistle reading, St. Paul knows that the Corinthians are in danger of forgetting that the Holy Spirit has been sitting on a ridge overlooking a creek, chipping away at their lives, shaping them for a purpose. You see, the Corinthians were once inert, passive rocks, half buried on Horn Mountain. As Paul writes, you know that when you were heathen, you were led astray to dumb idols, however you may have been moved. Dark forces and their own personal desires kept them passive before speechless idols, passive in not doing the right thing, not being active in the right way. Their lives peeked out of layers of fear, fear of being truly known, fear of missing out on something fun elsewhere. And the Corinthians had no purpose beyond themselves. They lay in the dirt like rocks, passive, self-absorbed, impotent people. And now, once again, the Corinthians are in danger of lying beside the deer trail. The Corinthian Christians are becoming passive people in the church, people whose self-absorbed patterns bury them in purposeless, inert lives. And it's easy to be passive in life. We ourselves often slip into inert rock status in the church. We've all been there. I've been there. We bury ourselves under layers of comfort. We languish along the deer trail, focusing on what we want out of life, refusing to see the beauty of what we could be. We come to church, we leave, but we avoid relationships with the people around us. We avoid anything that might interfere with our plans to snuggle in the dirt on Horn Mountain. We don't do it out of malice. We do it out of fear. Fear that someone might really get to know us. Fear that we might miss out on something fun somewhere else. And so we lose sight of our purpose as the years of dirt form over us. But of course, the truth is that the divine craftsman has chipped each of us away into arrowheads, bird points, spear points, knives, awls, and scrapers, all the rest. And this divine craftsman is proud of what he has made. He has used and continues to use our lives to keep the tribe, the church, alive and flourishing. To each, writes St. Paul, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The triune God fashions each of us into a precious tool. He spends hours, years, napping away on us with a deer horn as individuals, making us into people who can fulfill specific tasks in his church. He chips away at who we are. He uses our specific life angles and contours, the experiences, the joys, the pains, the wrestlings with the angel, as Jacob found, to make us into unique tools to keep the tribe, the church, alive and flourishing. And we're all different. Spirit makes some of us into dog-eared arrowheads to bring down an elk, to bring hamburgers for the church picnic in a few weeks. Spirit makes some of us into shining black obsidian knives with crisp lines to dress out a buffalo, to talk to that lonely teenager at Whataburger. Spirit makes some of us into tiny bird points to drop a grouse mid-flight, to deal with the little problems that flutter up from the sagebrush in church. Little problems that always seem to pop up in church life. And the Spirit makes some of us into agate scrapers to scrape off great waves of fat from animal hides, to strip away a struggling widow's burdens. The Holy Spirit gives to each one of us something to do in Jesus' church. And each of our purposes contribute to the single goal of the full life of the tribe, the full life of the family. God did not call us to be passive rocks buried in our fear on Horn Mountain. The Holy Spirit has shaped you into someone who does something in this church. You have a purpose here at St. Stephen's. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but you do. Now you say, well, that's great, Father. That sounds all nice and pretty and all that. But how do I even know what my gift is or my purpose is? Well, the Holy Spirit, as he sits there above the winding creek, he has a signature style. All of his tools look like Jesus in some way. And all of his tools bring people together in Jesus. This is what St. Paul means when he says in the epistle reading, no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, but by the same Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, says Paul, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in every one. The Corinthians, well, they thought the spirits could make you say all sorts of things. And what the spiritual gifts they thought they produced didn't really look much like Jesus. And they tended to divide the church, not bring it together. What is it in our lives? What is it in your life that looks like Jesus and could bring people together here in some way? As we kick off our new year in a few weeks, what might you do here? What could you do that looks like Jesus and brings people together? The Holy Spirit is at work. And he gives you a purpose, a meaning here in this place. And actually, that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.